book. So we are in Romans chapter 11, in Romans chapter 11, and we're going to be in 11:11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. And as we look at this, guys, there's some interesting things going on here that we're going to look at, and I want you to notice. And but I don't want you to take offense to this, because understand, God is God, and He knows better than you and I. Amen. And His plan is bigger than our plan. And the interesting thing is, as you go through the Bible, you find everything God does, He does for us. And we're the beneficiary, amen? And so it doesn't change here for us. Now, is anybody in here Jewish? Okay, so you're really going to appreciate this passage. Let's look here in Romans 11:11. And of course, Paul is continuing on about Israel. And of course, you know, Paul wants Israel saved. He wants his countrymen saved, if you will. And they're not listening to God. And so they are ignoring the call of God. They are more interested in being the children of Abraham than what they are of Jesus being their Savior. And so they're hung up on I am going to heaven, or I'm a child of God because of Abraham. And if we were to go back and read in John chapter 8, they had this huge debate where they say, you know, we are children of Abraham, and God is our Father, and he goes on and on, and Jesus says, no, listen, your father is the devil. And of course, if somebody came to you and said your father is the devil, how would you feel? And then to turn around and go, and by the way, you're like your father. I look at Tim because he won't take offense to that. So it says, Jesus says, listen, your father is the devil, and you're just like your father, a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Right? Yeah. Somebody said, ouch. Right? I mean, what, if somebody said that to us today, we'd have them arrested for a hate crime. And yet Jesus says that in John chapter 8, and Jesus is trying to tell the Jews, listen to me. You need life. And this is the only way you're going to obtain life. I had someone last week, I was sharing this in Sunday school, this past week. Is very interesting, because when you live your life different than the world, people notice that, amen? And they have a tendency to look at you and go, there's something unusual about you. That's their nice way of saying you're weird. And so, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And so I said, well, of course I answer with, you're weird with, well, I'm a pastor. And so she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, absolutely. And so she begins to ask her questions, and it pertained to her son. You know, she said, my family says my son's going to hell. And then she lists the reasons why. And I looked at her and I said, listen, your son's not going to hell because of those reasons. And then I shared Jesus, and I asked their thought of who Jesus was to them. She's like, well, God's my father. And I go, I appreciate that. But who is Jesus? And when it all got washed out, I said, you know, with a broken heart, and I say this according to the Bible, you're not going to heaven either. According to Scripture, you're going to hell with your son. Right? Have that conversation a couple times. And she looked at me. And now I'm waiting to not be the nice guy anymore. You know what I'm saying? I'm waiting for the lashing out. Who are you to tell me that I'm going to hell, or that my son is going to hell? Who are you? Well, this is a good way to start a Sunday morning service, isn't it? Jump right into the flames. And I said, I go, whoa, hold on a minute. I'm not telling you this because it's my choice. I'm telling you that you said you believed in God. Yes. Do you believe the Bible? Some of it. And I go, there's the problem. Where did you find out about God? Like, where did you learn about God and God's love? In the Bible. And you believe it? Yes. Why is it that you believe that part of it, but you don't believe the rest? I said, is it because it's not palatable? And she said, what do you mean? I go, it doesn't taste good. You don't like it. I go, why is it that you're going to believe what you can accept, but you're going to deny what you don't like? And I said, you know, the Bible is either all true or it's all a lie. Jesus either died for everyone for their sins so that we all have an opportunity to go to heaven, or he didn't. God the Father loves us and he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die, or he didn't. I mean, you can't pick and choose what you want to believe. If you look in, and we're not going to go there for sake of time, but if you were to look in Romans chapter 2, Paul's talking to the Jews. And Paul says, listen, you have the answer, but you've not told anybody. You know about God, but you're not telling anybody. You're leaving this all for you, all for yourself. You have truly done a disservice to your countrymen. And so Paul, in chapter 2, verses 17 through 25, starts unloading on them for not sharing Jesus Christ. And they knew better. And they're not doing their job. And you know, guys, I could so easily have not done my job when the lady asked me a question. And you as a Christian could so easily not do your job when somebody asked you a question about the Bible or about Jesus. Listen, it is so easy because we don't believe, or we believe for the wrong reasons, or we go, okay, I believe the Bible because my parents shoved it down my throat, but deep down, I don't agree. You know, one of my biggest fears, I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm in church. Catch me out of church and I won't be, but I'm kidding. It's one of my biggest fears is, listen, my youngest graduates this year from high school. Starts college in August. Wow. Wow, there's... like it just resonated in my brain. And my biggest fear is, does she believe in Jesus because I believe in Jesus? Or does she believe in Jesus because she believes in Jesus? Is she saved because it's what Dad wants to hear? Or is she saved because there was a day when she said, oh, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Because there's a lot of you who are going to go through the same struggles. There's some of you going through it right now, even as adults, and you're going, do I really believe what I think I believe? Do I believe in Jesus because, hey, Jesus is love, and I'm all about love, and I'm a flower child? Ooh. Do I believe in Jesus because we need to love our country, and we need to love our world, and we need to love people, and God loves everyone, and so I just want to be a part of that love? Or do you believe in Jesus because, wretched man that I am, I need a Savior. I can't fix myself and I can't save myself and I don't even know what to do with myself half the time. And we cry out and we reach up because we know we need Jesus Christ. See, there's this huge battle going on, and I'm going to tell you, in this building, in this very room, it is very real for many of you to have that battle right now. And some of you, you're questioning your salvation. You're like, am I really saved? Does God really mean what he says he means when he says that I can be saved because I've done some pretty ridiculous things? Which, by the way, as your pastor, before I knew Jesus, It was pretty ridiculous. I can tell you through experience, I was there. And so we go through this whole process. Do I really believe? Is it really true? Is it for me? Do I believe because they believe? Do I believe because, hey, I was brought up in church my whole life, and so therefore I'm a Christian because that's all I've ever known? But there was never a time where you went, oh, wretched man that I am, wretched woman that I am, Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a filthy rag. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that without your forgiveness, I am nothing. I know that if you don't come down and touch me and lift me up and wash me clean, I'm going to die and go to hell. I know it. Paul knew that that's where his countrymen were. They were struggling. Abraham's my father. Jesus, you're in the way. God has chosen us. We are the chosen people. Jesus, you're in the way. And that's what was going on in Romans with the Israelites. And I'm going to tell you, if you're sitting here struggling today, God's not wiped you off the slate and forgotten about you. Praise God. Amen. He's long-suffering. Same way with Israel here. And Paul picks it up in chapter 11, verse 11. He picks it up reminding us that Israel had the same struggles. His Jewish brothers had the same struggle. And God said, okay, you're about to learn a hard, hard lesson, but I've not forgotten about you. And you're struggling with your identity, but I haven't forgotten about you. As a matter of fact, I am about to take a bold step that's just going to rock your world. And I'm going to tell you, some of us in here, we need something to rock our world, amen? Either to get us saved or to get us back on track, some of us. And then some of us, we just need Jesus to rock our world because we've been holding on to him so tight, expecting so much that we're due for that miracle or that blessing, amen? Well, here, Israel's about to get an eye-opener. 11:11, Romans. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. Have they stumbled so bad that they should be cast away and forgotten about forever? That's literally what he means when he says that they should fall. Shall they just be wiped out, blotted out, forgotten about, never to be looked at again? How about you? Have you stumbled so bad that you should be blotted out? Certainly not. And Paul goes on here and he says, so, and by the way, don't you love the exclamation point? Paul's emphatic about this. Certainly not. Grab this. Hold on to this. What a promise. It's going to be a rough road. It's going to be bumpy. By the way, some of you are going to get some pretty bad bruises and you're going to get beat up a little bit. But listen, I'd rather get into heaven with a busted lip and a broken arm and several bruises than not get there at all. Amen. And that's what's about to happen to Israel. He said, certainly not, but through their fall. Now look here, guys. To provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to you and I. God said, listen, I love them so much. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And now he provokes them to jealousy by offering salvation to you and I. How dare God, our God, offer salvation to the dogs? Because we're Gentiles, and so Gentiles were looked upon as dogs back here in Scripture during this time. The Jews looked at us as dogs. Remember when the lady she had the issue of blood and she's pulling or no, she wanted her daughter safe. She's after Jesus, and Jesus says, now is not the time. It's not time to feed the dogs. Called her a dog. And her response was, yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs from their master's table, and all I want's the crumb. She understood the power of Jesus. And Jesus said, man, what great faith. You're healed. Go home, your daughter's healed. Go. Done. And so now, salvation is opened up to you and I. I really don't care why God chose to open up salvation to you and I. I'll be quite honest with you. It doesn't matter to me. I just praise Him that He did. Amen. I praise Him that I have opportunity to go to heaven. I praise Him I have opportunity to serve Him. I praise Him that I have opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. I praise Him that I am not condemned and dying and going to hell. I praise Him. Amen. Don't care why. It's immaterial to me. It's immaterial to me who He tries to make jealous. It's immaterial to me what His goal is. It is absolutely immaterial to me, because here's what I know. God is a righteous God and a loving God and a just God and a fair God. And He says, come with me. I'm like, I'm in. And I know some of you are struggling with that. And now Israel is struggling with that. Israel's having a hard time. Look here in verse 12. Paul goes on. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? See, Paul is bringing it back, and he's like, listen, you know what? It's their fall and their failure is to our benefit. Did you get that? And the more people that get saved, the more their fullness is when they come back around. When they start believing in Jesus. And by the way, the day is coming, guys. Israel is not forgotten. And we know Israel is not forgotten because, look, they got their promised land back. They got their own land back. They became their own nation again. Do you realize they're the only people in history that ever lost their identity or lost their land and became a nation again? And God promised it to them. So we see that, listen, even though they're going through trials right now, God is putting them through this trial so that He can get them. Some of you are going through trials. Some of you are asking yourself, why me? Some of you are scratching your head and wondering, how is it I have been in this battle for so many years? I'm telling you, look at all how many years Israel's been in the battle. The first thing we realize, the reason they're in the biggest battle that they're in, is because they're disobedient with unbelief. Do you believe? Guys, that's a real question. That is a real, genuine question. Do you believe? Do you believe what you say you believe when you come to church? Yes, Jesus is my Savior. Do you really believe that? And then do you live it? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you love Jesus enough? Is it real that you're keeping His commandments? Guys, these are real questions, because I'm just going to tell you. You know, God opened up the door for you and I to have opportunity to go to heaven. What are we doing with that? We say we love Jesus. We say we're born again. We say Jesus Christ is our Savior. We thank the Father in heaven. We say we want to honor Him. But what is your life looking like? Does it look like the Israelites? Abraham's my father. God I believe in. Jesus, get lost, because you are infringing in on what I want to do. Does it look like that? I don't know, guys, but here's what I do know. I know that as a church body, as a church, not even just Connecting Point Church, I'm just talking as the church of Christ, the whole body of Jesus, doing more harm than ever in this season of our life. Because we're choosing to believe a social gospel. We're choosing to believe. I talked to a gentleman. I'm telling you, man, God has been putting so many people in my path this past week that it's kind of left me reeling a little bit. Have you ever been there? And so I was talking to this one guy, and he was telling me what church he goes to. And I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. And you guys think that I was, but I said that, and he looked at me like, And I go, let me ask you this. How do you get to heaven? He had already told me that he'd been going to this church for 5 years. Five. I said, how do you get to heaven? And he looked at me with this puzzled look. And he goes, whoa, you caught me off guard. I said, okay, I can appreciate that. But how do you get to heaven? I'm not going to let him escape the question, amen? How do you get to heaven? And he said this, I quote, I guess there could be a million different ways. Right? Okay, am I the only one that just felt that? Right? Isn't that what you want to do? You just like, and then I wanted to go, that's why I said I'm sorry. And I said, your pastor is not being the shepherd he should be. There are not a million different ways to heaven. And I go, and you know the truth is, you're not going to heaven. And he looked at me as if I just blew him over. And he goes, that's a bold statement to say to somebody you just met. And I go, if you don't know how to get to heaven, you're not going to heaven. No, that's okay. I'm like, there's a phone. Didn't we turn them off? It's the alarm. I'm picking. So here's the thing, guys. Listen, if you don't know how to get to Buffalo, who's going to Buffalo? Nobody. And that's my whole point, guys. Listen, if you don't know the answers, you can't get there. And so do you really know what you think you know? Or is it all in your head? Or have you, I've loved Jesus my whole life. Really, when was the decision that you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? Jesus has been there for me forever. I can't remember the day. Then you don't have a day. That's what you want to say, right? Okay, so me being the passionate guy that I am, that intense guy that I am, that's my question. And so I had another lady who I was introduced as a pastor. I typically don't give that out right up front because then people kind of seize up on me. And so the guy goes, oh, yeah, this is my friend, Pastor John. And she goes, oh, I got a question for you. And I went, yeah, I got an answer. Because I know, if anything, my answer is Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus is the answer for everything. And so we start having this conversation. And she has been studying and practicing the witchcraft. And her fiance or husband or whoever he was in the witchcraft, and this whole thing going on with witchcraft. And I said, and when I got introduced as a pastor, she goes, I'm a pastor too. And I went, 1 Timothy chapter 3. No, you're not. I didn't go there, but that's like in my brain went there, you know. And so we're having this discussion. And I said, let's cut to the chase. How do you get to heaven? And she goes, oh, I could give you all these religious answers. And I go, I don't want your religious answers. If we're going to sit here and be honest, give me an honest answer. How do you get to heaven? Well, if I gave you the religious answer, it would be Jesus. I said, okay, give me your answer. I don't know. That's what I want to hear. Because when you give me the real answer, now we can get to the root of it and we can deal with that. And I said, so here's the bottom line. And I called her by name. And I said, the truth is, you're not going to heaven. You're pretty bold, aren't you? Yes. And I was just staring at her. And she goes, and you have intimidating eyes. I said, my daughter has told me that a few times. And I said, but let's get back to the question. Or back to my statement. You're not going to heaven. And we went through this whole thing. And you know, she's like the Israelites. And she's like, but I know Jesus. You don't know him like I know him. You know of Jesus. You don't know Jesus. So many of us here will throw out a name. You're like, oh, I know them. Really? Hey, what about this? And oh, no, I don't know all that. Like, I know who they are. And that's where she was. That's where Israel was. And Paul's saying, guys, God's going to do whatever it's going to take to pull you in because he loves you. But you got to know. You got to know. Look here in 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. I give glory and honor of my ministry to Jesus for calling me to you, is what he's saying when he says I glorify or I magnify my ministry. Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, that's Israel, and save some of them. Listen, do you hear what Paul is saying? Paul is telling them, I am willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that they hear the truth, know the truth, and get saved. And so many of us in this room go, I love Jesus. Oh, I ain't going to tell somebody because they'll think I'm crazy and I'll lose friends. I love Jesus. Oh, I'm not going to say that out loud. I'll say it in church. I had a lady this past week. Man, I'm telling you, I have met just this past week. Listen, I'm telling you, these are all fresh. Amen. I don't even have to reach back into the vault, man. These are fresh stories. And a lady comes in, and we're talking, and she's like, are you a Christian? Because had Christian music playing in the background. Yeah, I'm a Christian too. Wonderful. And she goes, I've been looking for a church. I can't find one. I go, isn't that crazy? I'm a pastor. I go, I know where a church is. And she goes, where's it at? I go, well, seeing how I'm the pastor of it, I can show you where the church is. And we talked. And then she said this. Well, I just want you to know I drink. Okay. I don't know what to do with that. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what to do with that. And what kind of church do you have? I said, well, I don't promote drinking. I have a church that teaches the gospel, the truth. We open the Bible, we look at the verses, we explain the verses, we apply them to our life, we understand them, and then we go out and live them. That's what kind of church we are. What kind of music do you play? What kind do you like? So we got all said and done, and she goes, you've interested me enough, I'll try it. Well, since you haven't found any anywhere else, might be a good shot. We're in your back door. You going to be there this? I go, what are you doing this weekend? I'm not doing much this weekend. I go, great, I'll see you Sunday. Oh, I got things I got to do. Yeah. How can I provoke you to moving for Jesus? And Paul says, man, I'll do anything to provoke my countrymen. I'll do anything to provoke them to salvation. I'll do anything to provoke them to see the truth, understand the truth, accept the truth, live the truth, and then go out and scream it from the rooftops. I'll do anything. And most of us are like the Christians I've been talking to this week. Oh, I'm a Christian. Great. How do you get to heaven? It's a good question. Suppose there's a million ways. I'm a Christian. Great, that's awesome. You're looking for a church. Yeah, but I drink. I do what I want to do, and I'm not interested in coming this Sunday. Right? And Paul says here, I'm speaking to you Gentiles. Do you know who the Gentiles are? Every one of us. And I know it's every one of us because I already asked who was Jewish and nobody raised their hand. Every one of us. He goes, I'm speaking to you. Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. I'll do whatever it takes, man. I just don't want anybody to go to hell. I think Paul knows Jesus, and I think he believes the Bible. The Bible being the word of Christ that he received. Because the Bible wasn't written back in his day. I'm just saying. Well, that's another day. All right, here we go. Verse 15. For if they're being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If they're being cast away as the reconciling of the world. If they're being cast away brings us to Jesus. That's what he's saying. Have you ever thought about putting yourself out on the chopping block for Jesus? I mean, in all sincerity. We say we love people. We say we love our family. We say we love our friends. We love our coworkers. We say we love people. But for some reason, there's always a stop sign to our love. And that stop sign is usually about that much discomfort for the majority of us. Now, some of us have a wider range, but for most of us, it is just a touch of discomfort with the excuse of, I'm shy. Or, I don't want to offend. Or, what will they think of me? Guys, I'll tell you, as a pastor, I'm probably one of the loneliest men in this room. It's not because you guys don't love me. It's not because I don't have 1,500 friends on Facebook. It's not because I didn't go to a church in North Carolina that ran 1,000 and a church in Missouri that ran 1,000. And I probably know, realistically, 4,000 people. But to be quite honest with you, it's because of my passion for Jesus. It makes a lot of people uncomfortable, including Christians. Including pastors. Friends of mine that are pastors. John, you need to calm down. You're just a little too intense. Tell that to the family I just did the funeral for that has no hope. John, you're too loud. Because apparently nobody's hearing. Because look at their lifestyle. It's not changed. John, you leave the conviction up to God. Did you not read the verse? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How are they going to hear the verse? Except for the feet of those. How beautiful are the feet of those who what? Preach. Who go and preach the gospel. See, when I became a pastor, my whole life, my whole world changed. When I became a pastor, first when I became a Christian, that's when it really started to change. And then when I became a pastor, it changed even more. Because see, it's not my goal for you to like me. Although it does make the relationship a lot easier, I will say that. But I feel like Paul. Paul didn't go out there for you to like him. He did say, look, I'm not going to offend your culture, but I'm not going to be silent either. I mean, he was staring King Agrippa right in the eyes. And shared the whole gospel with King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said, almost, Paul, you persuaded me. And Paul said, I persuaded you and everybody in here. See, Paul went there to tell them about Jesus, not to get out of jail. And the problem with most of us today is we don't want to go to jail. And that jail could be here. That jail could just be a little bit of discomfort, or that jail could be an actual jail. But we are so concerned with not going to jail that we'll be silent. And people are often, "Pastor, how can you be so bold to tell somebody they're going to hell?" Because they are. I don't want them to. How can you be so cold not to? See, there's a better question. Paul says, listen, I'm not here. I'm not here for fan-based relationships. I'm not here for you to love me. I don't even care if you like me. Here's what I care about: that you hear the truth. You hear the truth. You know the truth. You believe the truth. And then Jesus Christ becomes your Savior. That's what I'm here for. And we have an entire nation that has been sacrificed because they don't believe. An entire nation that has been literally put on the back burner because they didn't believe. And God says, I'm not going to leave them there. It's a bad place. It's an uncomfortable place. But I'm not going to leave them there. So I'm going to take another entire group of people, another entire nation upon nation called the Gentiles, and I'm going to bring them into this and give them an opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ so that they won't stay on the burner, that they'll come forward. Whatever it takes, I don't care. And Paul's like, whatever it takes, I don't care. Do you realize what Paul went through to tell people about Jesus? Do you realize what some people today go through to tell people about Jesus? And then I get 100 emails about how hot it is in an auditorium, and that if we can't control the heat better, they'll have to go somewhere else. Go. Go. If your concern is more about your behind sitting on a seat and it's too hot than it is for the soul hearing the word of God, then go. Just go. Why? Guys, an entire nation put on a back burner. God's chosen people. Who are we to think we're more special than God's chosen people? And Paul says, I would do anything. And boy, I'll tell you what, you have an opportunity for salvation because of the Jews. And I'm telling you, as soon as they get their head on right and they start thinking right and they come back up, man, how much more full is their salvation going to be? Oh my goodness. Verse 15, for if there be casting away is the reconciling of the world, that's you and I, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree, you being a Gentile, the Gentile is what he's talking about, were grafted in among who? Among the Jews. How arrogant we are to think we're so much better than other people. That's an American attitude, isn't it? We were grafted in. We were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. That is the blessing and the glory of God through Jesus Christ. The richness and the fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. We have things backwards sometimes, guys. We really do. Boy, we think so much of ourselves sometimes. We're so arrogant. We're so conceited and so selfish and self-centered and self-righteous because it is all about me, 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 even at the cost of anybody else. And we'll see people going through hardship, and because we might be inconvenienced, we do this. Ooh, I didn't see that. And what we should be doing is running to them because we have the answers. Understand You do not support the root, but the root supports you. The root is God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 19, will you say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty. Don't be haughty. Don't sit there and go, oh yeah, I'm saved and you're not. Don't be haughty. Don't think so much of yourself that you forget the others. Don't think to yourself, hey, I'm in, and I hope you guys make it. See you on the other side. Take care. Don't be so haughty. That's what Paul's saying. Don't think so much of yourself. What you should be doing is, oh, my Lord, use me to help them get over here where I am. Use me, Lord. Use me however it looks, however it is. Use me. Verse 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Don't be haughty. Don't think that you're somebody. Because I'm going to tell you what, that fear or that haughtiness, that pride, that arrogance, boy, that'll tear you down in a heartbeat. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. The natural branches are the Gentile, are the Jews, and you here, is that's the Gentiles, that's us. Verse 22, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise, you also will be cut off. Uh-oh. That's uh-oh. What? Your salvation's not going to be cut off. If you're saved, you're born again. You're born again. That doesn't go anywhere. The blessings go somewhere. It's the offer that may get cut off. Well, when's that going to happen? I don't know. How long is God's goodness? We know it's long-suffering, but how long is long-suffering? Some of us, we say, I'll talk to my neighbor tomorrow. And then tomorrow you get a phone call, hey, did you hear? Hear what? Your neighbor was killed in a car accident. James says you're not promised tomorrow. Your life is but a vapor. You're here for a little while and then you vanish away. Guys, I think we really need to understand the blessing of salvation. And I also think we need to understand the severity of silence, of selfishness. It's funny because I have someone I talked to, and they said, Pastor, when are you going to make that phone call? And I'm like, I promise you, I've been praying and praying and praying and diligently praying, and man, as soon as God opens the door, I'm going to run through that door, I promise. And their thing is, I'm praying, and Pastor, when is that going to happen? I go, I don't know, I'm waiting on God's timing. But here's the coolest thing. Their heart and their prayer is, I'm not being quiet and I'm not giving up, and I hate if you think I'm a thorn, but I'm going to keep poking you. And I'm like, praise Jesus. What did God say? Listen, I want you to be like that woman that goes before the judge, and the judge finally just gives her what she wants so she'll be quiet. Amen? This is what we should be when it comes to lost souls. This is what we should be when it comes to telling our loved ones about Jesus. This is what, hey, who cares if you're saved, if you're keeping it to yourself? And the thing that really grabs hold of me, and by the way, today might be more of a soapbox preaching than a verse preaching. That's okay, because we'll go back to the verses next week. I'm soapboxing it today. But I'm going to tell you, the thing that drives me absolutely insane is if you find a good deal, or you if you go and you're like, hey man, I know where you can get this, and we would be posting it on Craigslist, posting it on Facebook. Hey, I know where this great deal is. If somebody says, hey, every friend you send to me, I'll give $1,000. We'd be sending them there. I don't know if it's true or not, but go check it out. It's worth $1,000. Tell me I'm wrong. No, because you guys know I'm right. And so, but when it comes to life, we go, they'll figure it out on their own. What about parents who tell their children, they tell me, well, I'm not going to get in the way. They got to figure out what they believe on their own. That's like taking a 2-year-old and telling them to play out in the middle of I-90 and see if you can get all the way across without getting hit. And then blindfold the drivers and say, go. Who in here would do that to a 2-year-old? Nobody. As a matter of fact, you would risk your life to run out there and grab that 2-year-old and get him out of the highway. But yet we'll be silent and let them die a spiritual death. Drives me crazy. As a pastor, it drives me insane. Yes, I'm intense. Yes, I'm passionate. Yes, I'm bold. Yes, I'm offensive. Yes, I will rattle your cage. And yes, I will go home quite fine if you don't like me because of it. 10 years in New York, in the pastorate, God has taught me, if Jesus is all I have, it is well with my soul. If nobody ever knocks on my door and says, Pastor, I think you're awesome, it is well with my soul. But if somebody knocks on my door and said, Pastor, I was angry with you, and I tried every reason in the world to not like you. By the way, I got this letter, I'm just saying. It's a real letter, I'm not making it up. I was angry with you, and I tried to find every reason in the world to dislike you. But I couldn't. Because you were speaking truth, and as hard as it was to hear, and it felt like a spike coming through me, I had to hear it. It's because of you I have a relationship with Jesus, and I just want to tell you I love you. See? I knew he didn't like me to begin with. And I was okay with that. And now he loves me. And man, I'm great with that. I was willing to sacrifice the relationship up front so that I could have the real deal here. Paul's willing. And you know what the crazy thing is? God's willing to do the same way. Israel, I'm going to put you over here, and you're not going to like me a whole lot. But that's where you're going, because I want you over here. And I'm willing to sacrifice the relationship over there to get the real deal over here. God does the same thing. Why won't we do that? Why don't we follow suit? I know some of you are saying, like, preacher, you're preaching too much. That's okay. Hold on. You only got 10 minutes. I'll let you out. 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For their gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Oh my goodness. Not taken back, guys. The gifts and the calling of God are ours forever. Verse 30. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Guys, we owe the Jewish. Why do you think it's so important? Why do you think our government and the churches, it wasn't our government for a little while, but now we're back on track. But the churches and so many people were screaming, we have to be friends with Israel. We have to be friends with Israel. We cannot, as a country, forsake being friends with Israel. We have to be allies. We have to stand next to them. Why? Because we understand the gift that they have given us, and we understand that they are God's chosen people, and we understand that God says, you go against them and I'll wipe you out. We understand it. When we understand how important the Jewish people are to us, we'll get it. You are only saved because the Jews' disobedience opened the door for us to be able to be obedient. Thank you, Israel. And then we, in our arrogance, won't share it. Verse 31, even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. When we look at this passage, guys, it's all about salvation, how salvation came to us, why we should be thankful, and how we should be obedient by sharing the gospel, not being silent to a people that have never heard. And if we're not careful, what we do is we complain about the world, which why I do. I complain about the world and how ungodly they are, because to be quite honest with you, ungodliness is so taxing to a soul that's trying to be righteous. Amen? But that doesn't give us the right to be silent. It doesn't give us the right to go in behind closed doors and shut the door and say, let them all die and go to hell. Who cares? Because I'm going to come in here where it's peaceful and quiet. It doesn't give us the right to ignore the call God has put on our life. We just got through with Easter. Spring break. I hope everyone had a wonderful spring break. And just like it's time now to get back to work, it is time to get back to the things of God. Everybody gets all religious and righteous come the righteous holiday. I don't want you to leave it there. I want you to take it with you. Now you're going back to work. Now life is getting real again. Now you're going to live out your walk. Now you're going to talk about your walk, which, by the way, we're coming up on the walk in chapter 12. Amen. So Paul, he just keeps rolling, man. That's why I love Paul. Paul doesn't, you might go, I don't like Paul. He's invasive. But I like Paul because you know why? He doesn't stop as Jesus loves you. He goes on to say why and what we need to do because of it. Amen. That's the next chapter. Chapter 12, hold on, it gets good. Don't forsake somebody else because you don't want to be inconvenienced. Don't forget about your salvation, and don't forget about the cost. Not only what it cost Jesus, but what it cost the Jewish people, what it cost Israel. You know, the Bible says we are our brother's keeper. And hopefully you got a good picture of that today. We can always look and go, well, see, Israel, if you'd have just been obedient, But who's going to sit back and go, see, America, if you'd have just been obedient? If you love someone, tell them about Jesus. If you don't love them, tell them about Jesus. Hey, look at it this way. If you have an enemy, and if you know talking about Jesus just makes them mad, make them mad. Amen? A little, okay, never mind. Guys, we have a calling on our life. We have an obligation. Just like we in America say, freedom wasn't free. It cost people their lives. Salvation wasn't free either. It cost people their lives. And we need to give it the due like we are when we say we're patriots of our country. There's no difference. Except for one, if we lose our life, it's eternity. For someone, for us, for someone else. You lose your life for your country, you just hope somebody lives on with it. But for God, it's forever. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. All I want you to do today is look at your life. Do I appreciate my salvation? Do I appreciate the cost that it cost somebody else for my salvation? And then am I going to do anything with my salvation? That's for those here who say, I know Jesus is my Savior. And if you're here and you go, I'm just here, I don't know if Jesus is my Savior, then here's my question for you. First, my statement, without Jesus, you have no hope. Without Jesus, you will not go to heaven. Not because I say so, but because God says so. See, to get to heaven is on God's terms, not ours. And for some reason, we join a group and their terms are that we have to pay a membership fee and we have to have certain dress code and we have to do certain things. And we're all in to be a part of that group. We're all in to be a part of that worldly membership that man places his rules on. And we pay and we do what they say. But when God says it, we think it's unfair. When God says it, we want to go back to, well, God loves me just the way I am and I don't have to give up anything that I don't want to. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's just as fair for God to establish His rules as it is for man to establish His. And God said, the Father said, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That was my plan all along. And that if you believe on Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that conquered death and hell and is at the right hand of the Father, if you believe that, then you will have eternal life. And so I want to offer that to you today. If you believe that, I want you to pray this prayer. Not because you're praying it along with me, because I'm not going to hear you. You're going to pray this to yourself. You're going to pray it to God quietly within yourself. The difference is you have to mean it with your heart and not your head. If you're just praying it because you're going, oh, he wants me to pray, I'll pray, da da da, maybe this is my escape from hell, I'll do it, then don't bother. Just sit there and be silent, respectful of everybody else, and it's very appreciated. But if in your heart you go, I know I can't save myself, and Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I believe on you, then you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I deserve death and hell. I deserve to be cast out. But I believe it is because of your grace and your love and your mercy for me, Father in heaven, that you have opened the door for salvation. And today, I walk through that door. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me white as snow. And today I repent. I'll no longer live the life that I have chosen to live, but I will live the life that you have chosen for me.